I went to go get Brother Kirkland down in Taylor. He's staying at a hotel down. He's down there for a conference, and I got on the freeway, and at I-75 in Springwells, if you know where that's at, there was an accident. And there's about a 3-mile stretch where there's no exits. And sure enough, there was an accident in that stretch, and I got stuck. And for 40 minutes, I didn't move. And we were texting and calling, and I was calling everybody here saying, we got to have a backup plan. And finally, we started moving. I called Brother Kirk. I said, if we get there, we'll get back to the church about 7:30. You want to try it? And he goes, let's do it. So I'm very excited to have Brother Kirk Kirkland here with us tonight. He is a pastor, founded the church back in March of 2013, Revived Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he can tell you more about his work there. But we're very excited to have him here. He's also preached, if you didn't know, we went on that missions trip this summer, and that was to help Brother Kirk and his church, and we had a great time with them. And then he preached teen conference at Emmanuel Baptist Cold Spring. So our teenagers know him, they love him, and so they're in here tonight to hear him preach too, because they'd rather hear him than they hear me, and I don't blame him. I'd rather hear him than hear me too. So welcome, Brother Kirk. You come preach to us.
He told me I had to be done at 8:30, so I better hurry up and get right into the Word. No, I'm joking with you here. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. It's a joy to be here. I'm glad the Lord worked it all out. Thank you and for coming to pick me up and enduring the traffic. And it's a joy to be here. I've heard so much about this church. I had opportunity to get in your preacher's truck, and he's told me all about you, and he loves you. And I wish I could. I wish he was here. And so I could spend some more time with him, but it is a joy to be here. I've enjoyed getting to know some of you. Any of the men were at the men's conference too. There was a men's conference in Cold Spring. Okay, you remember me there. And then we sure enjoyed having your young people help us. And can I tell you, I put them to work. Isn't that right, young people? I put them hard work. We planted trees. We dug holes. We put in fencing. We painted. We painted window. What else did we do? We did about everything. Yeah, landscaping, and not only that, but we did evangelizing, and we did all kind of work, and your young people were fantastic. They were fabulous. They worked hard. They didn't complain, and we only had one broken window. I mean, it was great, you know, and so I've got to know Brother Stephen and his family, and I really appreciate their friendship, and to have this opportunity now to address you and to preach to you, to get to know you, and I'm walking in, I could tell that it looks like you guys have remodeled. I know I've never been here before, but I can tell everything's new, and boy, is that pretty, and it gives me some inspiration. We're looking right now, we're out of space. We have an auditorium that seats 114 people, and then we have just a little fellowship hall. Our nursery's one half of the hall. We have a baby gate, and then we have our kids program, and there's two bathrooms down there, and that's all. And there's a kitchen, and that's all of our building. We had 208 people two Sundays ago. And so we're looking for a bigger building. And I thought, wow, if I could pick this up and put it in Cincinnati, I'd be pretty happy, you know. You've done a beautiful job here. This is a beautiful auditorium. And I know that some people have worked hard. They've sacrificed. They've given. They've prayed. They've attended. They've supported this ministry. This just didn't happen. It didn't just come out of nowhere. And so I look forward to, usually the Wednesday night crowd is the people who are the people who are doing that work, and they're supporting the church. And so I have this opportunity to address you now, and I believe God's going to speak to our hearts. Hopefully you've come expecting God to speak to your heart. Now, I have a different style. We're right in the middle of the inner city of Cincinnati. We have a very urban church, and so... we have a lot of fun. Your young people have been there, and they've seen it. It's different. It's right down the line. It's in the book, but it's just different. We have our own little style, and so it's going to be different for me tonight, okay? I'm used to Revive, and it's going to be different for you, too. That's okay. Can we just determine to have fun regardless and just have a good time? And if I do something I'm not supposed to do, just tell Brother Steve later, and then he can tell the preacher, and that'd be great, okay? Luke chapter number 5. And I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you to take the next step and go in the next level in your life. Now, this is what I want you to do, because we're bad at doing this. We're bad at thinking about other people and evaluate where other people are in their life and what level they're on. But tonight, I want you, the best you can, I don't want you to think about anybody else. I just want to think about where you are, evaluate where you are in your walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you to take the next step and go to the next level in your discipleship of Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ. So we find here in Luke chapter number 5, the story of Jesus when he calls his disciples. Now, let me tell you, young people, sometimes we preachers, we're bad at just kind of telling you, do this and do it because I say so. And I'm the man of God here. I'm the pastor here. And you just listen to me and you follow orders. And that's good. I mean, we should follow the orders of the pastor. But, you know, sometimes pastors and preachers like myself, we're men of great faith. And we just kind of see things and we want to move forward. But sometimes people are a little reluctant and they need a little bit more time and they need a little bit more information about doing and following and moving forward that way. I find it amusing if you turn to the parallel passage of Jesus calling his disciples, you would turn to Matthew chapter 4. You don't have to turn there, but some of you who've been around the block a couple of times here, you'll know Matthew chapter 4. It's like Jesus shows up and he says something like, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. And then the Bible says, and they left everything, they followed him. You would kind of just get the impression that Jesus showed up out of nowhere and they just left all their life and followed him. And sometimes young people, that's the impression that we kind of give you, like, hey, you know, just give your life to Jesus and follow him. Don't ask any questions. And you just follow him and it'll be the best thing that ever happened. And maybe you're sitting back there saying, well, hold on now. I need a little bit more time. I need a little bit more information. Tell me about all that now. And thankfully here we have the parallel passage in the book of Luke. And Luke, he's being a doctor, and Luke speaking to the Gentile mind, he gives us some more detail. Aren't you glad for that little bit more detail where he tells the story and that we can understand the process of what it really means to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior and to be his disciple? Now look what the Bible says. Verse number 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. I see the first level here, and I want to congratulate you and instruct you right from the beginning. If you are here tonight, that means every single one of you have made it to this level. And that was this. These people were interested. They were interested. It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to what? To hear the word of God. Now, Jesus was the man. He had turned water into wine. He had healed the royal officer's son. He had caused Peter to catch the multitude. We'll find that here. A fish. He's getting ready to do that miracle. He even will heal Peter's mother-in-law. I often wonder how Peter felt about that. Maybe mixed emotions. But Jesus was this great miracle worker, and the word has spread that he was performing these miracles. But not only that, but he was a man who was teaching, and he was teaching with an authority. He was teaching in such a way that they had never heard before. And so these people showed up, and they heard about Jesus, and they pressed him. They asked him, encouraged him, could you give us the word of God? Obviously, these people were interested. Now, congratulations. You're here on Wednesday night. That means you're interested. Now, don't start thinking about somebody else. Don't start thinking about, I'm going to ask you if you're willing to surrender your life to become a missionary in Africa. No, you're getting way out in front of yourself. Don't think that far. Let's just say, welcome, congratulations. Everybody who made it here tonight, you made it to level number 1. You're here. That means you're interested. Can I tell you this? As a church planner, we need to learn to celebrate people like that. Sometimes as a church planner, you're worried about all the people who aren't there. Sometimes as a church planner, I'm talking from my own experience, you're looking at the empty seats, but you're forgetting there are some people who are filling seats. Thank God for that, church. Sometimes you can be discouraged, especially as the old-time saints, and you can remember from yesteryear when it used to be full and there used to be so many more people, and we can get discouraged about who's not here, but how about we flip that thing around and let's be encouraged for all the people who are here tonight. Thank God for that. That means there's some people who made it. Do you realize some people never get to that level? Are you with me tonight? There's some people who never come on Wednesday night. There's some people who aren't interested in the Word of God. There's some people who would laugh in your faith if you invited them to church. They're not going to get it. They're not going to make it. But thank God, I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. But we made it tonight. Thank God we made it to this level, right? Amen. So here we are. So you made it to level number one. Don't ever let somebody tell you didn't do nothing or you ain't going to be nothing. You made it. You made it to level one. You're interested. Thank God for that. Now, can I ask you a question? Does Jesus want you to stay at that level or does he push you to go further? He pushes you all the time. This is how we would say it in Cincinnati. He gets all up in your Kool-Aid. He gets all up in your business and he challenges you to take the next step. So we're going to see that here in the Word of God. Look at verse number 2. It says, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now let's stop right there and talk about this. So Jesus, he looks and he sees these two ships. They're in the water there and they're washing their nets. Now I want you to understand here that these men were not recreational fishermen. They were commercial fishermen. They were catching fish for their livelihood. This was their job. This is how they put food on the table. This is how they paid the bills, by catching fish. They were commercial fishermen. And how they fished is not the way that necessarily we would fish recreationally. They didn't get poles out and try to catch one fish at a time. They tried to catch as many fish as they could. And they used nets, not poles and lines and hooks and worms and all that kind of stuff. And fish are kind of like people, and that fish don't like to be uncomfortable, and they don't like the water when it's really kind of hot, and that's why we put air. I heard the air conditioning unit kicked on because my big hot mouth, all the hot air coming out of my mouth, you know, kicked that air conditioner right on. And so fish are kind of like us. They don't like the uncomfortable hot atmosphere, and so when it gets hot in the middle of the day, you know what the fish do? They go down deep to where the water's cooler. You understand? And then at nighttime, they come back up to the surface when the water cools up. So those commercial fishermen there in this part of the world would wait till nighttime, and they would go while the fish were up towards the surface, and that's when they cast out those nets. Now, do you understand now? The Bible says when Jesus saw them, what were they doing? They were washing their nets. Do you know what that means? That doesn't mean they were getting started. That means they were finishing up. They had fished all night long, you understand? We'll find out that later when Peter gives us a little bit more detail. They had fished all night long, and so here the sun has come up and the water up top's warming and the fish are going down. And so they come to land, they're going to wash their nets. Any debris or junk or stuff that's caught up in the nets that's going to cause them not to catch fish, I mean, they're going to get that out. You'll see in the Bible where it talks about them mending their net. Obviously, there's large holes fish would slide through, you know, kind of like Nemo, young people, and just keep swimming. So anyway, so they had to fix those nets. They wash the nets. They stretch them out, dry them. They roll them up. They put them away for the day. And if they were like us, they'd go probably get something to eat and then go to bed, right? They've been at it all night long. And so here they are in the process. They're at the end of the day. It's kind of like this. They're kind of like that last 30 minutes of your shift. You know what I mean? The last 30 minutes, the last 30 minutes where you don't do anything, you know, where you just checked out mentally and you're ready to go home. That's where they are in the day. And so Jesus, he sees them there. They're at the end of the day. They're washing their nets. They're getting ready to roll out and go home. Look at verse number 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, notice this, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So here the Lord Jesus gets into Simon's business. He gets up in Simon's Kool-Aid. And he approaches Simon, obviously, and he asks him, Simon, can I borrow your boat just for a little while? Because I'd like to teach some more people, and I'm here, and this, obviously, the vantage point or wherever you're at was not good enough, so he wanted to kind of back up and kind of how we would have a platform, get to where everybody can see me. If they can see me, that means they can hear me, and so in order for him to do that, these fishermen who were finishing up for the day, one of them was going to have to borrow or loan out the boat to Jesus, right? So that means that Jesus was pressing them from being interested to taking the next step. You know what the next step is? They went from being interested to being involved. From being interested to being involved. Now, don't get me wrong now. It wasn't a great commitment. Jesus didn't go to Simon and say, Simon, could you sell your boat and give me the profits for my ministry? Could you sell me the boat? Could you donate the boat to me? No. He said, can I? You just let me use this boat. And then what did he say? Could you thrust out a little from the land? You know what he said to Peter, so to speak? He said, could you get your feet wet? Peter, just thrust out a little from the land. You know what I'm challenging you here? Now, again, congratulations. You're here tonight. You're hearing me. You made it to level number one. You're interested. Everybody's there. But could it be that Jesus Christ is challenging you just like he challenged Peter? And he's saying, Peter, I know you're tired. Peter, I know you've been at it all day. Peter, I know you've got other things to do. But I'm not asking for a great commitment. I'm just asking you, could you get your feet? Could you go from being interested to being involved? Now, for you, I don't know what that means. I mean, you're here on Wednesday night, so maybe I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe there's another step that's coming that's going to speak more to you. But maybe that means, I don't know, Brother Steve, I don't know, how do we do outreach at Emmanuel Baptist Church? Do we go out and do we pass out flyers? Do we canvass neighborhoods? Do we knock on doors? Do we visit people? How do we do it? That's all of the above. Bus visitation, summer soul. So I'm asking this question. Have you ever gone out on summer soul winning? I'm asking, have you ever thought about maybe not even joining a bus route, but have you ever thought to go to a bus captain and say, you know what, I'd like to bake some cookies for your bus kids to encourage them to come to church. I'm not asking for a great commitment. I'm not asking you to sell your house and give the proceeds to the church. I'm just saying, could you get your feet wet? That's all I'm saying. You understand that? You go from being interested, just listening, coming, sitting, to being involved, doing something. I want you to ask yourself that question tonight. What am I involved in? Other than coming just to hear the message, other than coming to Sunday school and just hearing the lesson, am I involved in something? I believe Jesus is challenging Peter to get involved. Now, here's the awesome thing about getting involved. You ready for this? Whenever you take one step and you go further in your discipleship in Jesus Christ and you go a little further, you go from being interested, being involved, guess what happens? More people get to hear the word of God. You see what happens there? The Bible says he prayed Simon to thrust out a little from the land, and the Bible says, and he sat down and he taught the people. Do you see that there? Whenever you take a step, here's the principle. First steps lead to next steps. I remember we moved our church from really downtown to the neighborhood just west of downtown, to West Price Hill. And it was right in the middle of the winter. It was January, and we had a bad winter, probably like you had a bad winter this past winter. And we moved neighborhoods, and here it is middle of January, and we're in a new church building. We're in a new neighborhood. And I went to my church, and I said, now, church, we got to get the word out that we're here. We got to go and we got to evangelize and we got to invite people to Christ and invite them to the church. It's the middle of January, and I said, I need some people to get involved. Well, I didn't have a lot of people volunteer, but I did have one guy. His name was Craig Smith. And he said, Pastor, when you're ready to go, I'll go out with you and we can go out and knock doors and invite people to church. I said, that'd be great. Let's go this Saturday. So we came, we went, and the weather wasn't perfect, but it wasn't a totally bad day. And we went out. I said, well, let's just start on the street that our church is on. We'll start on Mann's Avenue. So we start going down the street, knocking on doors, inviting people to Christ, inviting them to church. And we knocked on a lady's door. Her name was Monica. She was from Hazard, Kentucky originally. I knew some people in Hazard, Kentucky, and we made a connection there. And I said, Monica, would you come to church? She said, sure, I'll come to church. And she came to church that next Sunday. Well, guess what? Monica gave her heart to Jesus Christ that day. She asked him to be his Lord and Savior. You know what happened after that? Monica came the next Sunday, but this time she had her daughter, she had her mother, and she had her brother. Her mother's name's Carolyn, her daughter's name's Carolyn. That can be confusing in our church. But then her brother's name is Bubby. Remember Bubby? Well, guess what happened on that day that Bubby and Carolyn and little Carolyn came? They all got saved. Well, you know what happened to that? The Baptist preacher shows up and tells them, hey, I want to baptize you guys. And so we schedule it for their baptism. They come that next Sunday to get baptized, and they bring their niece with them. Their niece that morning says, I want what they got. Alexis got saved that morning, and I baptized her that afternoon with the rest of the family. It was a really interesting story because we were right in the middle of a blizzard on that particular Sunday, and Bubby didn't bring a change of clothes. And so he said, Pastor, I'll get baptized on another day. I said, that'll be fine. And so I began to baptize his niece. I baptized his sister. I baptized his other niece. I baptized his mom. And before the baptism was over, he stood to his feet and said, Pastor, I'm ready to get baptized right now, right in the middle of the service. I said, come on. I baptized Bubby. It took everything I had to get him down and get him back up. But I got him back up. He didn't have a change of clothes. He lives probably just a few blocks away from the church. And so he started out after church was over, heading down the middle of Man's Avenue, drenched, soaking wet in the middle of a blizzard. I said, Bubby, do you want to ride? He said, no, I'm fine. I said, aren't you cold? He said, I'm warm on the inside. Well, I don't have time, and we don't have time, but Bubby brought Mike and Rochelle, and Mike and Rochelle have trusted Christ as Savior. Bubby went to junior camp with us and brought his son, and his son Douglas has trusted Christ as Savior. Carolyn and Bubby witnessed to Monica's husband, and Paul just a couple of weeks ago got saved, and I baptized him, and Philip, and I could go on and on and on. Before this thing is over, there's going to be a whole street won to Christ. And what did it start with? Me, the great man of God? No, it started with Craig Smith saying, Preacher, I'll get involved. I'll go out with you. That's how it started. Just got his feet wet. I don't even think Craig talked to anybody on that day, but he was just there for me to get involved. And wow, it's changed a family's, not only their life, their whole eternal destination. It's changed our church for the good. We see when you take a step, more people come to know Jesus. Now, can I ask you a question? Does Jesus stop there? Does Jesus stop? Once you get involved, and I'm imagining that 90% of the people here tonight are involved. Is that where it stops and we've arrived because we're doing a little something for Jesus? No. Jesus pushes us to the next level. Look what we see here in the Word of God. The Bible says, verse number 4, now when he had left speaking, that's what you're waiting for tonight, right? You can't wait to that moment. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, notice this, launch out into the deep. Uh-oh, that's not get your feet wet, is it? That's launch out into the deep. Put your life vest on. Launch out into the deep. Notice this, and let down your nets, plural, nets, for a draught or for a catch. Uh-oh. Now, Jesus, you done gone a little bit too far now, Jesus. I mean, it was all cool. It was all good in the hood. I mean, we had it made drinking pink lemonade in the shade when you were talking about just getting my feet wet. But now you're asking me to go get into my boat, to launch out into the deep, and to let down my nets. You are going a little too far, Jesus. Well, let's see how Peter responded to this push to go to the next level. Verse number 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master. Now, I want you to notice that word master. That was a respectful term, but that's a term you would call any rabbi. It was just a respectful term to any teacher or rabbi. Master. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Lord Jesus, Master, good teacher, we have been at this all night long, and we haven't caught anything. I feel in the undertone of what Peter was saying is, Jesus, you're a pretty good teacher, but maybe you should leave the fishing to the fishermen. We've done this all night long, and we haven't caught anything. Now, here's the amazing thing, church. Peter had no idea what all hung on that one decision to follow the commands of Jesus Christ. Now, fast forward in our mind. After Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead and ascended to the Father, Peter becomes a leader there in that church of Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, guess who stands up to preach? It's Simon Peter. And he preaches a message, and God, the Holy Spirit, convicts people's hearts, and 3,000 people get saved. You understand? Peter would go on to be a leader there in that early church. History tells us that Peter was martyred. Some believe he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the same way that Jesus was crucified. He'd go on to give his life. The once coward, the once denier of Christ, would give his life as a martyr for Jesus Christ. And here we are, don't miss this now, here we are in 2014, and probably if I drove around your city or somewhere in Detroit, I'd find a St. Peter Baptist Church or St. Peter something church. We're talking about, you with me now? We're talking about some little old Middle Eastern man who lived 2,000 years ago, who was a fisherman. You know what he was? He was a nobody. Are you with me? We're talking about this man named Peter, who really, if outside of the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, was a nobody, a speck on the human page of history. Nobody should be talking about this little Middle Eastern man who caught fish for a living. But here we are having a service and we're talking about Peter. Why? Because what this one decision to take the next step led him in his life. You're saying, what are you saying, Pastor Kirk? I'm saying you don't realize what is in the hanging in the balance for you if you don't decide to take the next step for Jesus. What's the next step? They were interested. They went from being interested to being involved. They went from being involved, you ready for this, to being invested. From involved to invested. What are you saying, Pastor Kirk? Jesus was saying this essentially to Peter. Peter, I want you to go fishing the way I tell you to go fishing. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Now, Peter was a business owner. Any business owners we have here tonight? Okay, you don't tell a business owner how to run his business, right? Jesus, you do the preaching. I'll do the fishing. We've been at this all night long. We haven't caught anything. He was asking Peter to do something he was very familiar with, but he was asking Peter to do it in the way that he prescribed and that Peter hadn't done before. I want you to go fishing, Peter, but this time I want you to go in the middle of the day and I want you to trust me. Trust me with your business. I want you to get in partnership with me. It's no longer just the Peter Fisherman Company. It's the Peter and Jesus Fisherman Company. You with me? He got invested. He got invested. Now, it was met with a little hesitation. And tonight, I am not too super spiritual to know that there are some people out there that you are involved, but you're just a little hesitant about taking the next step. And you know what? I'm not so super spiritual to call you a devil. Peter here, what does he say? He says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, here's the key word. Nevertheless, at thy word. Now, notice this. I will let down the, what's the next word? Say it again with me. Net. Singular. I will let down the net. What did verse number 4 say? Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Plural. Multiple. Put them all out there, Peter. Peter says, you know what? We've been at this all night and we haven't caught anything, but at your word, I'll let down the net. I'll do a little something, something. I will get invested. Now, I'm not giving you everything, but I will do something. And tonight, I'm going to challenge you. If you're right there on the brink and you're already here, that means you're interested. And probably because this is Wednesday night, 90% of you are involved. But you're teetering there on the next step. Could you just go ahead and throw out at least one net? One net! And see what God can do with that one net. You know, I just so happen to see an offering plate with offering here. Sometimes we get nervous when a preacher starts talking about money, don't we? You know what it means when a preacher does this right here? Absolutely nothing. Sometimes we get nervous when a preacher talks about money. But money, you know, it reveals a lot about us. It really does. You show me your checkbook, I'll show you what you love. You show me your checkbook, or well, nowadays, your bank statement, right, or online statement, I'll show you what you love. You know what you'll find if you look at my wife's statement online? You're going to find she loves Target, Kohl's, right? Somebody say amen, you know? Yeah. You're going to find that's where she loves to visit. She loves to contribute there because it shows up time and time and time again. You show me your checkbook, I'll show you what you love. If you're a hunter, I may see something like Cabela's. How far are we from the Cabela's in Dundee? I mean, that wouldn't be a bad trip to take, you know? If you were a hunter, you see that. You may see a Cabela's. If you were, you fill in the blank there. You show me your checkbook, I'll show you. I'm in Michigan. Maybe I can say, you know, show me the rifle range, you know? I need to get the militia up here, you know? Now, here's the thing. How much are you invested in the Lord's work? How many times does Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church show up in your checkbook or in your statement or whatever you want to, however you want to put that, or however you give? You see, again, it's not about the money. It's about the heart. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Now, us, if we were writing the Bible, we would have said it this way. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. But that's not how Jesus said it. He says, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. You know, I don't have any money in the stock market. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, it'd probably be a good thing if I had some money in the stock market. Can you guess? I just told you I have no money in the stock market. Can you guess last month how many times I checked the stock market? Zero. I didn't check the stock market one time last month. You know why? I don't have no money in there. Can I ask you this question? If I had $1 million in the stock market, you think I would check it every once in a while? Why? Because where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. So it's not that I don't think that Jesus needs your treasure. You think Jesus needs our money? I think we make ours out of trees, and I think God's got enough of those. But it is that maybe Jesus wants your heart. See, there's a line, there's a cord that's connected from your heart down to your what? Your pocket. And so Jesus, what is he doing? Jesus, see, Peter was out there fishing for fish, but Jesus was what? Fishing for Peter. Let down your nets for a catch. We've been at it all night long, Jesus, but at your word, I'll let down the net. Can I give you a statement, Emmanuel Baptist Church? If you've not practiced tithing, could you just give it a try? Could you let down a net? I'm not saying get all radical and give to missions and give to the building fund and sell your life, give your life saving. I'm not saying go crazy like that. But like Peter, could you just let down one net? Do you know the interesting thing about tithing? You know, there's some people who don't believe in tithing and grace giving. That's fine. But you know what the Bible says? It's the one thing that God says, put me to the test. He says, prove me. That's what that means. Prove me, and will I not pour you out a blessing? God says, you put me to the test, and I'll show you that this is the way that you should support my work. And so could you put God to the test? Could you give it a try and see what God can do? Now, let's see what God can do if you give it a try. You ready? Verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net, see that there, singular, break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, notice this, and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Wow! When you just step out and you say, I'm going to take the next step, you may not even have it all together. You may not even be totally obedient here. Jesus said, let down your nets, but Peter just let down one of them. And God will amaze you what he can do with just a little faith the size of a mustard seed. Our church had a really hard time when we first started. We rented out a theater, like a Broadway theater. It was a black box theater to start our church in. And I went and talked to the people, and they had a decent rate. They had a nonprofit rate, and I thought, this is affordable. I think I can do this. It's right in the middle of downtown. It was a good location, and it was a great theater. They set up the chairs for you. They bring in the equipment for you, all this and that. And I thought, boy, I've just found the best thing. I got this secret treasure, and, boy, I'm the smartest church planner in the whole wide world. That's what I thought. Well, 30 days later, I got the bill. Well, this is what I found out. That building was a union building. I'm okay with that. Well, I started my church on Easter. You know what Easter is for the union? Paid holiday. You guess how much paid? Double time. And for the Aronoff Center, double time. So my bill doubled. Remember that help I told you about that helps bring in your equipment, things like that? If you go over a certain amount, that means you have to pay for two stagehands. So my bill not only doubled, it quadrupled. It went from $500 to $2,000. Now, this brother is broke, and he don't have $2,000. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do? So I came to our church. We were at that time meeting in a little community room on Tuesday night for prayer meeting. We didn't have more than 11 people there that night. And I said, church, we have a bill. I was so nervous and embarrassed, I didn't even tell them how much the bill was for. I thought they'd have no confidence in their little pastor. I said, church, we got a bill, and it's more than what we have. I said, I'm going to try to ask for some help. I said, but it'd be hypocritical for us if we don't try to give ourselves. Well, I had never taken an offering on Tuesday night up until that point. We only had 11 people. I took a $17 offering that night. It wasn't much. But then I said, church, I gave them a little inspiration from Scripture. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Whenever the devil asks you the question, can God, make your lips say these words, God can. I preach this message, God can. God can furnish a table in the wilderness. When we circled up, we held hands, and we prayed for God to do the miracle. And this is what we prayed. I said, church, we got to pay our bills on time. That's a bad testimony not to pay your bills on time. I said, let's pray that God will supply this for us by Friday. It's Tuesday. I pray, God, would you supply this for us by Friday? Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I get an email from a businessman that I met on deputation. He said, Kirk, I have a donation for you. I thought, great, I need a couple of them. I called him on the phone. He said, I have $10,000 for you. Do you want me to put it in the mail or do you want to pick it up? I said, I'll be right there. That was enough to pay the rent and have a little something on the side. You understand? In that moment, I realized that God can take our little bit of faith and make it into a whole lot of blessing. Interested to involved. Involved to invested. But notice this here. Remember Peter said, I'll let down the net. What does that reveal in Peter's heart? What does that reveal in Peter's heart? He still had some room to grow, didn't he? So that means maybe there's another level waiting for us. Is that right, church? You're saying, Pastor Kirk, I'm already interested. I'm here to hear your sermon. I mean, I'm involved. I'm working in the ministry. I'm investing. I'm giving to the ministry. You're telling me there's another step yet left for me to do? Yeah, we all have some reservation in our heart. There are always some things that we're holding on to. We're always in this process of sanctification. Now, notice what happens here. They beckon to their friends. Come help us. They fill up both the boats. Both the boats start singing. What happens? Verse number 8. I'm closing up now. When Simon Peter saw it, He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, two things about that statement. Number one, and don't get too spiritual on me, what did that have to do about fish? "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That didn't have anything to do about fish, did it? You see, it's not that God needs our fish. It's that God wants our faith. "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Now notice these two words. "O Lord." What did he call Jesus a couple of verses ago? Master. Respectful. But same thing you call any other rabbi. But this time, after he saw Jesus do something he couldn't do, he falls down on his knees and he says, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." It means that in that moment, Jesus became real to him. In that moment, his relationship became deepened to Jehovah, O Lord. Now notice this. Verse number 9, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." Do you see that there? The principle I've already told you. When you take one step, guess what happened? More people hear about Jesus. Every single time you take a step, more people. And now here James and John are starting to say, "Wow, this man is amazing. You'll lead other people to Christ." Look what the Bible says. "And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Well, there's the story. If you read Matthew chapter 4, you think Jesus just shows up and gives a pretty good sermon and everybody quits their business. But no, we get the details. We see it was a process. They went from being interested to being involved, to being involved to being invested. And they had one more step to take. They get to land. The Bible says they forsake everything. They sell the business. Now think about this, church. On Peter's best day at work, he quit. What will do that to you? The power of Jesus Christ. Things don't taste the same. Things don't satisfy you like they used to. When you get a hold of the power of Jesus Christ. I was preaching a mission conference and encouraging people to take the next step in their faith. A little lady after the mission conference came to me and she said, "Pastor, I'm going to tell you this, not because I'm looking for you to, you know, think anything of me. Normally I wouldn't say it, but I just want to tell you because I want to encourage you how the Lord spoke to my heart as you preached." She said, "Pastor, you know, I have a little car, and the car has about 100,000 or so miles on it. It's a good car. It runs good. But it was getting up there a little bit in the mileage." And she said, "I had determined next week I was going to go trade that car in, and I was going to get me a new, brand new car." Nothing wrong with that. She said, "You know what, Pastor, though? She says, that car is a good car. It runs pretty good. I think I can at least keep it on the road for one more year." She said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep that car on the road for one more year, and I'm going to take the car payment that I would have paid. I'm going to give that to missions." Wow. Things don't taste the same. Things don't look the same. Your life, things change when you get a hold of the power of Jesus Christ. Here they take the step. Now remember, if you're just interested tonight, I'm not asking you to make some great commitment. Just get your feet wet. So don't think about that. Don't get lost in that. If you're involved already, I'm asking you to go from being involved to get invested. And even in that, I realize there's some reservations. So just let down one net. That'll be okay. But those of you who've seen the power and you've tasted the power of Jesus Christ in your life and you're ready to make a full commitment, you know what the next step is? They went from being interested to involved, involved to invested, invested to all in. "I'm all in, Jesus. You got me. I'm selling everything and I'm following you." I wonder if there's anybody tonight, you're willing to sell the business, you're willing to sell the house, you're willing to move and go to Bible college, or you're willing to start a church or start Deputation, whatever it may be in your life, whatever all in means for you. I wonder if you're willing to take that step and say, "Jesus, whatever you want, wherever you lead me, I will follow. I don't know how I want to end this. I'll tell you this little story. My mother-in-law was teaching my daughter, my three-year-old daughter, Kerrigan. Some of these kids know who Kerrigan is. She was teaching her about giving. My little daughter will sit in the back of the church sometimes, you know. She's the preacher's kid. She has special exemptions. And so she won't go to the little kid's church. She'll come up and she wants to hear daddy preach. And so she'll sit in the back of the service with my mother-in-law. And they'll pass the offering plate. And she'll say, Nanny, what is this, Nanny? And my mother-in-law will say, well, will you take your money and you give it to Jesus? You put it in the plate and you give it to Jesus. She said, I take my money and I give it to Jesus? She said, yeah, you take your money, you put it in the plate, and you give it to Jesus. She said, okay, Nanny, okay. Well, the next day, Kerrigan was at the kitchen table, and she was painting. She loves to paint. And she was just talking to my wife like she always does, everything she ever thinks or any ideas and all the stories that come up in her brain. And she's telling my wife all these things. She said, Mommy, Nanny said, I put my money in a plate and give it to Jesus. And my wife said, yeah, that's right. Kerrigan was painting a little picture. She looked at my wife. She said, Mommy, I put my picture in the plate and give it to Jesus. You know what that revealed to me? It wasn't about money. It was about her heart. And can I propose to you, church, that Jesus doesn't need our money, but Jesus wants our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to encourage you one more time. Don't think about where somebody else is. If the musicians are coming, if someone's going to sing for an invitation, don't think about where someone else is. Don't get caught up in the religious minutiae. If you're here tonight and you just showed up and all you're doing is coming to hear the message and then you're leaving and that's all you're planning on doing, I'm glad you're here. But can I challenge you just to get involved? Whatever it may be. It may be small. You know, there's a gentleman in my church. And when I first met him, I simply saw him walking around the church property picking up trash. That's all he did. His name is Reggie. He'd just go around the church property every Sunday morning before church. We got a pretty rough street that we're on, and there's all kind of trash that gets on the street. And Sunday morning, he wanted the property to look good for the Lord, and so he'd just go pick up the trash. You know, Reggie's one of my most faithful men in my church. I'm thankful. He found just something small to do for Jesus. You know what the Lord Jesus said? If you'll serve a cup of cold water in my name, I'll give you a reward for it. If you're here tonight and you're just showing up to hear the sermon, I'm glad you're here. I don't berate you about that. I'm thankful to God. There's some people not here. I'm glad you're here. But can I just challenge you tonight? Would you be willing to get your feet wet? Do just a little something. Just a little something. That's all. Wednesday night, I imagine most of you are doing a little something. Can I ask you this question? Are you willing to get in business with Jesus? To do it his way? I know it may not make sense. But just let down a net. Just give it a try. Could you just give it a try? I mean, come on, just give this tithing thing a try. Do it for a month. Do it for 6 months. Just give it a try. I don't understand it, church, but I have found in my life that I live better on 90% than I do on 100%. I cannot figure it out mathematically other than when you add God into the equation, nothing makes sense. Right? With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I live better. I have a more blessed life with 90% of my income than I do with 100% of my income. Or maybe you say, I'm already tithing. Would you be willing to give an offering above that? Would you be willing to do missions? It may not be money. It may be time. It may be I'm showing up on Sunday morning, but I would be willing to try maybe at least to assist a class or to teach a class. Or I'd be willing to assist, be a bus, whatever it is. I don't know. You know what it is in your heart and life. You just take the next step. You go from being interested to involved, involved to invested. And could it be that God is calling somebody to sell the family business, to leave the comforts of home, to follow him by faith? They forsook all and followed him. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you speak to the hearts of people? That's something I cannot do. Only your Holy Spirit can do. Please speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet quietly? You still have your head bowed and your eyes closed. In just a moment, I'm going to turn it over. But would you just be honest? And this is not for me. I promise you, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Is there anybody honest enough tonight to say, Pastor Kirk, the Word of God has challenged me, and I believe I need to take another step? Maybe you're firing at all cylinders. But maybe you feel like you can get a little bit closer. You can follow a little closer. You can do just a little more. Is there anybody like that tonight with no one looking? Just myself, and I won't embarrass you. Anybody say, that's me, Pastor. I think the Word of God encouraged me tonight just to take another step. It'd be worth it if it was just one person who God spoke to their heart tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you'd like to come forward and pray, would you do that right now as they begin to sing?
I can hear the Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.